Take out your Bibles. 2 Timothy chapter 3. The title of the message is tonight, The Cost of Being Right. The Cost of Being Right. I'm going to mention this probably later, but it only costs to be right this side of eternity. When you leave this world and go to heaven for the Christian, there's no cost. There's only crowns and rewards and joy. But the cost is now. The cost is now. It'll cost people something to be saved. It'll cost people something to serve, to really serve Him. So there's a cost involved there. And then that quote like I gave this morning, let me give it again. It says, when the government is wrong, it's dangerous to be right. So there are times when it's dangerous to be right. It's going to cost you something. The cost of being right. Heavenly Father, please help me as I preach tonight. Please direct my thoughts, my words. That'll be encouragement tonight, but it'll also be a revelation, a teaching, an enlightening, and a blessing, and a revival. May the Lord be honored. May Christians grow tonight, spiritually, learning these things, as I've learned them, as I've studied. In Jesus' name, now I pray and ask it. Amen. The cost of being right. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 8. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. As their folly was manifest before men, so today, current day, false prophets and false teachers, their folly will be manifest, shown, revealed too. Just like Jannes and Jambres there in the time of Moses. Then verse 10, for thou hast fully known my doctrine, the Apostle Paul says here, you've known my doctrine, manner of life, how we live, purpose, faith, long-suffering, what I put up with patience, long-suffering, charity, the love I had for you, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Now, Paul was doing right. He was serving God. And God did not give him any extra or special protection, did he? Now, did God work with Paul in certain ways and give him some special blessings? Oh, yeah, absolutely. But in many ways, Paul had to suffer the same things anyone, any Christian goes through. In fact, even more, because he was doing a greater work for the Lord than most people. What persecutions I endured. I endured them. I didn't enjoy them. I endured them. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. The victory. Then verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So Paul says, not just me, but everyone that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now we know there's different degrees, varying degrees of that too. But anyways, it says that everyone will to one degree or another. And it seems like the ones that are the most devoted and want to do the most for the Lord Jesus Christ, they many times suffer the most too, because they're doing the most. And there's somebody that does not like Christians when they do good. They don't like Christians when they try to do all they can for the Lord, and they're really dedicated, and they're really sanctified, and they're really serving. There's someone that doesn't like that. And he's invisible. But he's got visible servants of his. They're serving him by hating Christians and carrying out his hatred for Christians through his servants here. All right, here's my outline for tonight. 5 different points. Let me give them to you about the cost of being right. Number 1, when it costs to be right. At certain times, when it costs to be right. Number 2, what. What it costs to be right. What it's going to cost you. Number 3, why it's going to cost you to be right. I mean, if you're right, that's good, isn't it? And why should it cost anything to be right? Well, we live in an upside-down world. Yes. We live in a world that really is upside down. When sin came in, it changed everything. So we got here, outline for tonight, when it costs to be right, what it costs to be right, why it costs to be right, and where it costs to be right. When, what, why, and where. First of all, let's find out when it costs. At what times does it cost to be right? Well, one of the times is when you're in the minority. when you're in the minority. And we as Christians are, it seems like we're always in the minority. There's never been a day throughout history, the almost, well, 6,000 years of history, where it's been, where the Christians have been in the majority. Never have. So when you're in the minority, that's when a time when we can be overcome, we can be, Christians can be put in jail, Christians can be get in trouble with the government like I talked about there. So when we're in the minority, when it costs to be right is when most are wrong. And there's that quote again. I kind of like that with the government and others. But you have to understand, we are in the minority. We're not in the majority as Christians. In America today, I wonder what the percentage is of those who really are, I mean, truly are born again Christians. Not those professing Christianity, just professing it, but those that really are born again. I wonder what percentage that is. You know something? God knows. God knows exactly what that percentage is, because God knows every single one who is really born again. They are his child. They are his son. They are his daughter. Praise the Lord for that. What a joy that is, isn't it? He also knows all those that are not his, too. He knows them individually. He knows them personally, and he's trying to reach them, too. But when does it cost to be right? When you're in the minority and you can't get your way, maybe even with politicians. But when you're in the minority, it's difficult. It's dangerous. Also, when it costs to be all right, when people are jealous of you and envious of you, can you think of an Old Testament example of that? Like with David, he was anointed king, but he wasn't king yet. Who was that? King Saul. King Saul was jealous of David. He was envious of David. And I don't know how in the world that ever happened. You know the story in the Bible when David was there and King Saul was there and they're having some meeting of all his generals and different things. And David was there and King Saul picked up a spear and threw it at David trying to kill him. Now David was quick enough, fast enough, or he avoided the spear and he went off. But I'm wondering, how can that happen? How can King Saul pick up a spear, try to kill somebody right there with all the other people, all the other eyewitnesses there? How did he get away with that? Because he's king. Because he's king. I know that's interesting. Be careful. Christian, we have people that can be jealous and envious, even of us. Even of us as Christians. We talk about going to heaven. Some people don't like that idea. And they get jealous and say, you Christian, you talk about going to heaven. You sure you're going to be there someday? How do you know that? Nobody can know that. Well, there's a jealousy and enviousness there too. Because when it costs to be right, if somebody is jealous of you, they keep it hidden sometimes. And it doesn't always come out. But number one, when it costs to be right, when you're in the minority, when people don't want the truth, when they don't want the truth, that's the when it costs to be right. So the lost world around us, they don't want to know the truth. They don't understand the truth. And when they do understand the truth, they don't want it. So when, at what time does it cost to be right? Those times, when we're in the minority. Number two, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The second was what it costs to be right. It could cost you everything. Everything. But let me ask you this. Even if it costs you everything, is it worth it? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 21. What it costs to be right. It costs many things. It costs many things. The Apostle Paul here, of course, was a great example. He talks about himself and some of the things that he went through and what it cost him to be right. He says, I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, when insoever any is bold, I speak foolishly. In other words, he said, I'm kind of bragging, but I do it because there's a reason for it. I am bold also. He says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. See, he had his critics there, and they were claiming, saying things against him and against his stand and even his being an Israelite. Verse 23 now. Are they ministers of Christ? Now, he says, I speak as a fool. In other words, he doesn't want to brag about this, but there's a reason for this, but he wants to put this thought in there too. He says, I really don't want to have to say this. I'm just kind of bringing it up because it's needed right now for this particular situation. Are they ministers of Christ? I am more. What he's saying here, I'm a better Christian than they are. That's what he's saying. He's saying that for a reason. He says, now here's why. Here's why he claims he's a better Christian than they are. In labor is more abundant. I've worked harder at it than other people have. In stripes above measure, I've suffered for it. I've been beaten for this. In prisons more frequent. The Apostle Paul in prison. I mentioned this one time in our church here. I said, if your pastor ever ended up in prison, how would you feel about it? Would you think, why is he in prison? Well, that's probably what you would think. But wouldn't it kind of dent your testimony and our testimony in Euclid, Ohio here, if your pastor, me, was in jail someday, and you say, yeah, I want to come out to our church. Oh, that's a church where your pastor's in jail, right? How would that go over? In labor is more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. In fact, he died in prison, didn't he? In deaths often. He died at least once, and God brought him back to life, literally, in debts often. Now, verse 24, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. I was beaten five times for my faith, five times. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, places that he went sometimes, he was fearful for his life. He was fearful he'd be robbed. That's the kind of places he went to. Perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, my own Israelites. They didn't like me because of the gospel I'm preaching, and preaching that Jesus is the Christ. In perils by the heathen, those that aren't Christian. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. A lot of perils there, aren't there? A lot of perils for the Apostle Paul. Poor the Apostle Paul in his perils. How about that? Poor Apostle Paul in his perils. Number 27, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This guy had it rough. This is what it cost him. Verse 29, who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forever, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept a city of the Damascenes with the garrison, desirous to apprehend me. They were searching for me. I threw a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. I'm glad, verse 33, I never had to do this. I hope I never do. Praise the Lord. I'd never have to go through something like that. But Paul did. What was he saying here? This is what it cost him. It cost him all these perils, different things he went through, hardships. What it cost to be right? A lot of things. You say, why doesn't God make it easier for the Christians? Why doesn't God put some kind of defense thing around them so nobody can get at him or hurt him? It's just not God's will. And that's how we're going to earn some rewards too, especially people like, men like, Christians like the Apostle Paul. So what it costs to be right? It costs a lot of different things, a lot of different things. It costs a separation from the world, separation from the wrongdoers. It's a separation from wrong and wrongdoers, both there, to separate there. Sometimes it costs you friends, doesn't it? Yeah, I miss my old friends. I really do. I enjoyed the times we spent together, all my old friends. I think about them once in a while. I pray for them, witness to them when I get opportunities, which isn't very often. But I miss my old friends, but it cost me some friends, but God gave me a lot more back. Yeah, a lot more back. So it costs a lot of things. It separates from wrong and wrongdoers, like I said. It costs even some, it costs their lives. Even their lives to serve the Lord. So the cost in being right, where it costs to be right, what it costs to be right, and the third one here, why Why? Why does it cost to be right? A couple different thoughts here. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Why should it cost? Aren't we doing what's right? Acts chapter 7, verse 54. And then also find Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Let's start Acts chapter 7, verse 54. Why? Why does it cost to be right? Aren't the consequences of being right good, right? Good consequences? Yeah. But there's other problems there too. Why does it cost to be right? Because when you're right, you're convicting people. When somebody's convicted about something, they're very uneasy about things. It tends to make them a little upset and angry. They feel guilty. Convicting somebody makes them feel guilty. And feeling guilty, the feeling of guiltiness, is not a pleasant thing. Not a pleasant thing. Convicting. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. You know these verses. Once we get there, you especially will remember them. So where Stephen gets stoned. Acts chapter 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That's the degree of anger they had there. But he, now here's the difference, here's the reaction, friends. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. You know what this is saying in verse 54 and 55? The more we suffer, if we're sincerely suffering for the Lord, the closer the Lord will be to us. We'll just understand things more and more all the time. What a joy it is. Now let's look at verse 56. And said, and behold, I see heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He had just preached his very convicting message. They were unbelievably angry with him, rushing on him, gnashing on him with their teeth. Can you imagine that? Biting into a person's arm or something. They're so angry about them. And he said, while this was going on, God gave him a vision of heaven here. By the way, he was about ready to go there too, a very short period of time. And he said, look, I see heaven. Do you think that made those people that are angry with him calm down? Or do you think that might have made them even angrier? Yeah. Verse 56, and said, behold, I see the heavens open, the Son of God standing on the right hand of God. Verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. It just made them more angry. And cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Hey, I think I heard about this guy. I think he's got a future with God, doesn't he? But whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Wow. Look at verse 60. Does that remind you of something else? Another greater event in the Bible. The greatest event in the Bible, in fact. Lay not this charge. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a parallel there. Here was Stephen and the Lord Jesus Christ, previous to this, of course. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. That means he died. Death is called sleep many times in the Bible. So why it costs to be right? Because it costs because you're speaking what's right, and it's going against what other people are doing, what people are doing, and it's bringing conviction, and conviction brings guilt, and guilt makes people feel guilty, and guilty is not a pleasant feeling, is what it is. Also turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Many of you know this verse from memory. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20. Dealing with why it costs to be right along that line. Isaiah 5:20 says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light. See, that's people that are for daylight savings time. Sin. That put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. They think they're pretty good. But why it costs? Because they're against what's right. They're living contrary to what's right. And it is convicting, convicting. They were convicted by Stephen's preaching there. Here in Isaiah, it brings it out because people are living in backwards, upside down life. They really are. When sin came in, it corrupted everything good. We still have those good qualities, but they're corrupted good qualities of God. And then John chapter 15, verse 18. Another well-known verse. As soon as we get there, you'll recognize this one too. John chapter 15, verse 18. Why it costs to be right. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Do people hate Jesus Christ? Well, that's what he says here. Verse 19. If ye were of the world would love his own. Yeah, the world would love you. You know, we're called to be spoil sports. And, you know, we're called to, like in Babylon, there in King Belshazzar, the writing on the wall. That brought an end to his party, didn't it? Yeah. He was so fearful, his knees shook together. Yeah. Many, many technical fires. Your kingdom is tried and found wanting and ended, so to speak. But back to verse 19 here. If you were of the world would love his own. And because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If you follow and do what Jesus Christ says, you're not going to be in favor with the world then. And then verse 20. Remember the word that I've said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. God takes it personally. The Lord Jesus Christ takes it personally. When people go against his Christians, he takes it personally because they know not him that sent me. They don't believe in God. They don't know the one sent me. They don't know God the Father. If they did, they would not react this way. And they're reacting towards us because that's what they really feel about Jesus Christ. When they criticize us, it's because that's what they really believe about Jesus Christ. And therefore, the attitude towards Christ is shown by the attitude towards Christians. Their attitudes towards Christ is revealed, really revealed, by their attitude towards Christians. Christians. I like that and I don't like that. Number one, I like it because now I know why people get upset with us when we witness to them. But I don't like it because I want them to accept it too. See, there's a difference there. So why it costs to be right? It's convicting them like Stephen, John chapter 15, talk about hating them there. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, because they're living for this world. So when it costs to be right, what it costs to be right, why it costs to be right, and now where it costs to be right. Where is this side of eternity? When we get to heaven, Christian, and I hope we can take a whole lot more people with us too, but when we get to heaven, there's no cost to be right once we get to heaven. The cost for being right is only this side of heaven. For the Christian, only this side. This side of eternity, this side of God's righteous judgment. Now, where does this cost take place? It takes place in society. Love not the world, neither things in the world. All is in the world. Lust of flesh, lust of the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And it goes on there. But in society, number one, that's where it costs to be right. It's going to cost you something to live right for the Lord in society. Oh, here's another one. In your families. It costs in your families. You love your families. Husbands, wives, kids, grandkids, parents. You love them, don't you? Absolutely we love them. That's why it's so hard. We don't like to think about it sometimes. That we feel so guilty. I'm kind of sharing some things with you tonight. We feel so guilty because we wish we had more opportunities to witness to them, or we wish we did witness to them more. So that word more, there's that guilt-ridden word more again. Be careful that word more. Families is where it costs to be right. They won't like you as much anymore. Now, be careful about that. Act in the right way towards your family. Be careful in witnessing to them and handle it the right way. Show the love that God has. Speaking the truth in love. But family is an area where it costs to be right. You can lose a closeness even in a family, even if you handle it as diplomatically as you can, even if you handle it as loving as you can, even if you handle it as prayerfully as you can, it can make a difference in a family. Now, show the love of Christ there and your family too. Be careful in that area. We're trying to reach them, aren't we? Yes. So act in a way that will not break, you know, break a fellowship with them if you can. But sometimes you can be as kind and nice as you can be. You can be as nice as Pastor Andy Rusnak, whoever it was, and they won't like you. They might not like you anyways, because you're telling them the truth. And you have to pull them through that part where there needs to be repentance, there needs to be conviction of sin. They need to hear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to pull them through that part. They need to understand that. They need to accept that before they can reach that next part. Amen. But family is where it costs to be right sometimes. How about the business world? Where it costs to be right. In the business world sometimes. How many Christians have not gotten that next raise on the job or that next promotion on the job because people knew they were Christian and you had witness, and so therefore they don't want you. They don't want you to be there because you're a Christian and they feel uncomfortable around you, and they don't want to lose customers because of you. And they want the office to run smoothly, and sometimes you kind of disrupt things a little bit by bringing up things that make people feel uneasy. You know, the old business world. Kind of interesting. Hobby Lobby got in trouble because when they were shutting down all businesses, they kept their stores open recently. And they were sued or something. The government brought some kind of official papers. I guess they have closed down now, but I want to congratulate Hobby Lobby for taking a stand there. And then there's the other kind of business, Chick-fil-A. What a disappointment. They took a stand for a while there for Christ. They had the right things. I forget what exactly the issue was before. But then they, here's a good word, capitulated. It means they gave in. They gave in. And now they are not, they're not supporting, giving any money to so-called Christian organizations. Some of them, I don't know how good they are. But anyway, so-called Christian organizations. And now they're giving money to organizations and groups and movements that are supporting LGBTQ.
Right.
Wow. Chick-fil-A, I hope they change once. Maybe they'll change again. Maybe they'll come back. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But where does it cost to be right in the business world? You know why Chick-fil-A changed? Because they couldn't get into a couple states where they wanted to have their restaurants because of their stand, because they were giving money only to so-called Christian groups. And so they changed because they wanted to get in those states so they could make more money. Money. Money separates, doesn't it? But the business world, where it costs to be right in society in general, in family, in business world, whether it's in the office or business sales. How about the schools? Where it costs to be right. We have Christian schools, we have Christian school teachers, and we have some Christians that are teaching in the public schools too. I'm glad for that. We need that. There's not a whole lot of salt in the public schools. We need that Christian salt. We need that spiritual salt in there. We need the lighthouses in the public schools too. And sometimes it works out. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it doesn't work out. But the schools, where it costs to be right. You take a stand for the Lord in the schools. Or in the PTA meetings. PTA, Parent Teacher Association, we used to call it PTA meetings. What about all that? My, oh my. Society in general. Where it costs to be right. It might affect your family, society, where you work, schools in that way. Where it costs to be right. The cost of being right. When it costs to be right. What it costs to be right. Why it costs to be right. Where it costs to be right. Turn, if you would, now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. The real joy, the real eternal joy, prize, result of being right. Temporarily, there's a cost of being right, but eternally, what a joy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, this is the Apostle Paul, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. What does he mean there? I'm going to die. I'm ready to be martyred for Jesus Christ. Verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, therefore, because of this, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, notice the word righteous there, righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. When we get to heaven, finally, there is no wrong. Finally, in heaven, there is only right. And finally, in heaven, we will rejoice because of that, and we'll have that joy because we're with the Lord forever. In spite of all the problems and difficulties in this world, let's be right anyway. Anyway. Heavenly Father, thank you for this. Thank you for this time. To be right in this world when it costs something. When, what, why, where, it costs something in this world. Lord, we're looking for to a day when it'll be a time of rejoicing. There's no cost for being right in heaven, but there's only being right in heaven. And thank you, Lord, we can look forward to that. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to be willing to pay the cost. Help us to be willing to surrender these things and serve you no matter what it may cost. No matter where it is or what it is or why or where, Lord, please bless. So thank you for this time, Lord. Please bless now as we have the invitation and the prayer time for whatever needs people might have, whatever prayer requests people might have, or maybe even tonight, somebody walking the aisle to believe in the Lord. Lord, I don't know, but maybe even tonight. But anyways, Lord, bless this time. Meet spiritual needs, please. In Jesus' name, I do pray and ask it. Amen.